7, Jackson, D. Will, the ill executive. He's like Suge Knight without the anger management issues. Phil P, the sports PhD. This dude is coming at you from all angles. He's got all the bases covered. There's not a whole lot about sports this brother don't know.
Can you dig it, sucker?
Featuring Ray, Justin Page, Eric Hamilton.
RG fans is like, woo! I blame it on Nintendo.
It's definitely a gin party around here. Definitely a gin party.
Don't bring any Kool-Aid.
It don't get no better than this, baby.
I want winners. You guys act like it. Pick it up a little bit. Okay? Get your chin up. Smile. Smile. Anybody can be peace.
Don't get no more real.
All right, welcome to Real Sports Guys. RSG Renegade Radio, where real guys talk real sports. I am your host, Marcus, the Game Changer, one-third of the illustrious three-man booth. We are back and in business for 2018. It's been a minute since we've been able to form like Voltron, but we back together. Got my man D. Wills in the house. D. Wills, holler at the people.
Well, hey, man, I'm just so happy. It's 2018, ready to go. And, you know, we've had your spirit, though, here, man. I've been playing this one.
Reclaiming my time.
That's been my hit record, man. And I'm glad to be back with you, reclaiming my time.
Yes, sir. I'm glad to be back, man. It's been a minute, as we said. But it's good to reunite with the guys and talk some sports. I also got my man, 100 grand, Phil T. Sports, PhD. What's happening, Kevin?
2018, we all remember the havoc that went down before year 2K back in 2000. As Bernie Mac say, you know, we was at the store buying sardines, getting water. And all of a sudden, now we celebrate 2018. I've missed you all. It's been a while since we've been on the show together, and I'm just looking forward to catch up and have some laughs and reconnect with our listeners.
Absolutely. Well, let's get right into it. We got a few topics we want to get into tonight. Before we do that, just to let you know, all callers and hosts are brought to you by Carbon World Health, your complete solution for fitness, health, and beauty. Go to carbonworldhealth.com to connect with Dr. Nestor Rodriguez and his staff to learn more about lifestyle medicine and tell them that the Real Sports Guy sent you. All right, fellas. We got a lot to get into. Where do you guys want to start? I'll let you guys kind of lay it out. D. Wills, where you want to point the needle to get us going?
You know, since we didn't get a chance to put a bow on the college season a little bit, I thought it would be nice to maybe put a bow on that before, you know, getting into some of our other topics, particularly the basketball topics. But I'd love to get any of y'all feedback if y'all have any opinions on just, man, how that season ended. And I didn't get a chance to really tap in with y'all about that.
Well, you know, as always, I got a lot to say. But I'm going to let PhD weigh in first. PhD, you got anything college football, reflecting on the season, just kind of what were your thoughts as the season ended? How do you feel about how the playoffs were, the teams were selected? How do you feel about the competition level in the playoffs? What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I think we are on the cusp of adding more teams. It's going to happen. I don't know if it'll be this coming season, but certainly by the 2019 season's playoffs. Central Florida, I mean, it's one thing if Western Michigan goes undefeated and does not get invited to the playoffs like last year. It's another thing when Central Florida does it, then all of a sudden they beat Auburn, who's the only team that defeated two of the teams in the playoffs. Actually, two of the teams of the championship, correct? So, to me, that was the most overshadowing story for me of the entire college football season, is that the entire goal of this thing is to have a true champion. I think for the first time since we moved to a playoff, there's been serious question as to who was the true champion, especially looking at Oklahoma's defense in the Final Four. Oh, my goodness. I'm not sure if they could have stopped a high school team running the ball. That was just so I mean, it was so bad against Georgia in the semifinal game. To me, that just spoke to there's no way Oklahoma could be a top four team, regardless of how good their offense is, if they can't stop people, given how bad they looked the second half. So I think it just really, really raises questions if we truly have the best four teams in the playoffs. For the first time, I am not convinced.
You raise a lot of great points. I'm with you in that a expansion is imminent. When you don't have conference champions from the Power Five conferences being left out, that's just bad business. All of these conferences have kind of come together to co-sign this playoff format, and when you are consistently leaving out one of the conference champions and the conference doesn't have representation and the conference also doesn't have their hand in that pot to get that money. And that's what this is going to boil down to for the big boys and the Power Five schools, is that, you know, last year the Big 12 got left out in the cold. This year it was the Big 10 and the Pac-12 got left out in the cold. You're not going to be able to keep having that happen and have everybody be cool with the system where money for conferences is being left on the table, their conference champion can't get in. So that's where I think the rubber is going to hit the road. And, you know, if you're not in one of these Power Five conferences, ultimately, what are you playing for? And so, like, under the current system, you're really not playing for anything, because as Central Florida proved, you can go undefeated. You can be good enough to beat a team that 3 weeks ago everybody was touting as, you know, one of the best in the country and potentially would have been in the playoff had they not lost. They were pretty much one game away from being in the playoff, and you beat them. You know, what are you playing for? Do you really have a shot at this? Or really, are you locked out of competing for a national championship if you're not in the Power Five conference? And if that's the case, then we just need to call it the Power Five Final Four, because that's what it is. If you can't get into it going undefeated and beating the people on your schedule, especially when Power Five teams of note won't play you if they got a chance to lose to you. I have appreciated the somewhat earnestness of the process, the selection process, where it does seem like they are trying to get the best four teams in the country, and they're not taking into consideration kind of arbitrary things like conference championships and that kind of stuff, which, again, depending upon the power of your conference in a particular year, your conference might not need to have – you might not have one of the four best teams in the nation in your conference, and that's not a far-fetched idea that, you know, you don't have a top-four team in your league. So I appreciate that there is some sort of authenticity to that part of the process, but I just don't think – it's sustainable to constantly have, with the money part of it, to constantly have Power Five conferences and their conference champion not being represented in the showcase event of the season. That's bad for business for those conferences, and they're not going to keep letting that ride. And it'll be interesting to see how letting a non-Power Five or a group of five school into it levels the playing field slightly. We know it's a slanted field toward the big boys, but allowing a team, allowing a group of five coach to be able to go into a young man's living room and say, "Hey, come to my school. We can, if we go undefeated, we can play for a national championship and have the potential to knock off a big boy." Well, right now, they're basically locked out of that process and that conversation. Nick Saban can go, Nick Saban or the dude from Auburn can go into a kid's living room and say, hey, listen, we could win, we could lose two or three games, and you still got a shot at playing on the big stage. You know, if you go to school X, group of five school X, and y'all go undefeated, y'all still ain't got no shot to play. And that's something that has to change if we're going to talk about just the equity of the sport in general and having a true champion be able to be crowned, is that there needs to be a legit opportunity for, one, group of five schools to recruit kids on a level playing field, but also to be, have as much of an opportunity or an appropriate opportunity to get into or play their way into the playoff. Those are my thoughts. What was your thoughts on the whole situation, D. Wills?
First of all, it's just a pleasure to hear y'all break this thing down. I'm gonna say that I got chills getting y'all back, and I'm happy about that. Y'all made some really good points. Central Florida beat eight teams that played in bowls. Part of the process is how they got slow walked up the rankings, which was there was a bias on that. So that's the number one problem. How you evaluate them over the season, the fact that they never really kind of get into the top 10 by week seven, even though there's plenty enough evidence by week seven they should have been in the top 10. The other part I think is problematic is Georgia and Alabama create this this vision of the SEC that allows people to evaluate them in a way that they are not evaluating others. If you take away Alabama and Georgia, the SEC East was garbage. Like, just get it straight. I watched Florida up close and personal. I saw them. Tennessee was garbage. Vanderbilt has never been good. But when you hear them talk about other conferences, it's so easy for people to say they're garbage. And I think that's where it gets that's where things get tipped real quick in terms of why a team like Alabama can lose the games they lost and still be considered, right? Because people evaluated on the SEC on Alabama and Georgia, and Alabama and Georgia are just different. It had nothing to do with the SEC, nothing to do with anything else. They're just different kinds of programs, right? And no one can really kind of evaluate. Same thing with Clemson. The ACC had some garbage. Clemson's just different, right? And it kind of amplifies. So to me, that part of it is problematic because up until recently, Alabama didn't really have a signature win over anyone. All right? So to me, that's very problematic. And I can appreciate, I think, Game Changer, you said it, I can appreciate you trying to get the best four teams. But you can't tell me Ohio State probably could have run the table. You look at how they beat down USC, and everybody was talking junk about USC. They might have been able to run the table just like Alabama. All right? So having said all that, though, that championship game was great. Nick Saban, he just reloads. That game was incredible. I enjoyed watching those two teams. Just like you said, Phil, I think you hit a really good thing. I think Oklahoma was my team, but defensively, garbage. and Baker was basically holding them together. But Georgia and Alabama was an exciting game to watch, having said all of that. I believe they need to do eight. I think eight is about right. Because then I think you have enough room to make sure the conference champions can get in. But you also have enough room for if you have an Alabama scenario can happen. And you also have room for a Central Florida. And I hear people saying, well, if they had a signature win at the beginning of the season over Auburn, then they would have been immediately ranked. Come on, y'all. Come on. They beat 18 that were in bowl games. I don't think Alabama beat 18 that were in bowl games. I've been to the point where they were making a decision. So I think 18s allow for enough.
Yeah, but nowadays everybody gets in the bowl game, though. Nowadays everybody gets in the bowl game, though. That's a little inflated. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to just be like a game below. You got to win like five games to get in the bowl game, and you play 13.
Yeah, but even when you look at Alabama, that was a rationale they used for them. We don't use the same thing for Alabama. That's the same rationale they're using for Alabama.
Yeah,
I feel like the SEC
coasts on reputation, right?
Huh?
The SEC coasts on reputation, right? They
whose
do.
Whose reputation? Whose reputation? Vanderbilt, is Vanderbilt really a powerhouse? Is Kentucky really a powerhouse?
And when we think about there's a reason like half the teams in the SEC just changed coaches this year, right? Despite everybody's kind of touting of the SEC as this dominant conference, the people on the inside don't think so. That's why they're switching coaches. You know, so I feel you. I think, but again, it's the Floridas, it's the Alabamas, the Georgias, there's a lot of traditional powers in the SEC that are down and have been for about the last 5 years. But again, I ain't gonna say nothing disparaging about the South, but they're slow to catch up. Everybody else ain't figured out that like Tennessee ain't figured out that they not Tennessee no more. That's the problem.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? That's the issue. Florida ain't figured out they ain't Florida no more. And so they still think they Florida. And those are big states, man. Those are big states. So the folks down there still think it's 04. It's 02. You know, Tennessee, they think Peyton Manning coming out under center. You know, and it's not happening. So, you know, Ole Miss still waiting. It's still calling Archie out as starting quarterback. You know, or Eli. And it's just not popping like that in the SEC no more. But they think it is. And the media buys in. That's the other thing. You got a lot of SEC guys on TV, right? You got a lot of SEC guys with a platform.
Turning red and smiling. Yes, Booker McFarland. They just smile like Feinbaum smiles.
I mean, you got Booger, you got David Pollack, you got Tebow.
Yes.
I mean, you got lots of SEC guys who have a platform. And they think it's the best conference because when they played, it was. You know? Like with all those dudes who are now talking about football, when they played, the SEC was the most dominant conference. I don't think their dominance is as clear-cut from a year-to-year basis as it had been 10 years ago,
well,
8 years ago.
That's the problem with college football. It's too much reputation and tradition wrapped into the rankings. It is. You know, I actually like the computer rankings. It wasn't perfect, but the computer rankings took some of the – like, it made the process more objective. And that's my issue right now. It's like we think that Alabama's so dominant because they've been dominant before. You know, I saw a Clemson play, and I was just taken back by Clemson on the field, like, oh my gosh, look at these defensive linemen. They put four guys in the NFL last year. You know, the defensive line, they just reload, and wait a minute, why does that matter? Those guys aren't here anymore. And that's the beauty of college basketball versus college football, is every year, it doesn't really matter how the rankings start. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But in football, it matters too much.
Yeah, I agree a lot with those sentiments, PhD. I think you're spot on in the fact that, you know, in football, you know, what you did last year sets you up for this year. And then once you're at the top, unless you just totally collapse, it's very difficult to drop. You know what I mean? It's very difficult to drop. And I agree. I think a lot of folks had issues with the computer rankings because they couldn't manipulate it. You know what I'm saying? And it seems like the BCS or this process right now, the playoff process, you know, talking heads, you know, 1 week, Wisconsin. And again, this is a little bit of my Wisconsin bias, and I'll own up to that, is that it's just the level, like when you look at their resume and how many wins that the program has had over the course of the last 15 years, and you just put a blind resume up of their record, what they've done and accomplished, you couldn't say that there's very many programs in the country that match that. But that reputation doesn't carry for them in the same way that Alabama their reputation carries for them. You know what I mean? Wisconsin's reputation hurts them because they don't get that national level respect. Because honestly, I think the teams ain't black enough in the trenches.
That's it.
You know what I mean? Like
that's
the teams
it.
Aren't the teams. Like they don't have the NFL defensive linemen that you find in the SEC. And that's what I mean. They have NFL offensive linemen. The O line is always producing pros, but the defensive line, you know, is not always producing pros, and the defense isn't always producing pros. And I think, you know, when you look at their skill positions outside of running back, you know, they don't have pro talent on the perimeter, right? And I think that's what hurts a school like Wisconsin, is that you don't have pro talent on the perimeter and your defensive front isn't scary, so then we don't respect you. Like, you got a bunch of big hogs up front, and you just get back to Jersey.
Which is crazy when you look at the fact that all the linebackers that went to the league last year, not only – like, they had like three or four of them. Not only made rosters, but they were starting to get significant playing time. With your boy Bo, who's starting nose guard for Philadelphia from Wisconsin. You say that's the narrative. I mean, it took Brett to remind me of this. That every year, they would either put as many or more people on NFL rosters than Alabama every year. And I said,
yeah, but ain't nobody pumping that up because, you know, they're just not, and it's Wisconsin, and that's not going to happen. And so that's where the reputation piece
SEC,
comes in.
I was reminding SEC folks that your history is lined up on three people: Saban, Urban Meyer, and Les Miles. Both, all three of them started the Big Ten. LSU was struggling before Saban got there, and then Les kept it. Alabama was struggling before Saban got there. And then Spurrier left, Florida went down, Urban Meyer went there, what, two national champions? And so if
right, well, every other SEC school
time,
is living that right now.
Basically losing those three coaches. Huh?
Yeah, every other SEC school is living that right now. They're living that reality. They're waiting on that coach to come and save them. Texas and A&M just flipped their coach. Tennessee has flipped their coach. Florida's flipping their coach. You know what I mean? Like, every SEC program, Georgia finally got the right person they feel like in Kirby Smart. You know what I mean? To now lift them out of mediocrity because they were constantly, like, there but not quite ready. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it is. I mean, at any given moment, you got South Carolina still trying to figure it out now that Spurrier's gone again, right? You got all these schools that are supposed to be powers, but they are kind of mired in mediocrity and living off of the rep of being in the SEC and being an SEC school without having actually done any SEC-type stuff in a minute, you know.
And I don't have a problem with Alabama giving the love is giving love, but give it a love because it's Alabama. Don't give it a love because it's SEC. Right? That's the difference. You can put Alabama in Alabama any of these other conferences. It's because they only have to have 13 intercollegiate athletic sports. They get to put all their money in there, and they're going to get paid for everything you want. Even Urban Meyer has got to compete with like 28, 30 intercollegiate athletic sports at Ohio State. That's why I'm amazed that they do what they do there. And the SEC teams are on purpose, for the most part, do the minimum, other than like Vanderbilt. They got an AD over there who kind of cares about academics. They have most of those 13 or 14 intercollegiate sports. So they designed it to put all the money there, and they spend it right. I mean, he basically has a NFL scouting firm for college, high school athletes. I mean, he don't have so many coaches, but he has, you look at all the administrative staff he has applied to football, that's like, it's probably three times more than any other school. So, evaluate Alabama on being Alabama, or Georgia being Georgia, but don't evaluate them on just because of the SEC. They would be dominant no matter where they are, and so evaluate, that's one thing about college basketball. You're Kentucky, not because you're an SEC, you're Kentucky because you're Kentucky. You know,
right.
It doesn't matter. You're Kentucky. And they look at it because of that, and we all respect that. Not because, you know, you're Kentucky because you're Kentucky. I don't see that same kind of evaluation going on in in football. And they have the inability to do that, but you can even do that in football. And I don't think they do that well. And I think that's what causes a lot of the problems. We want Alabama because, you know, you look at Alabama, they're great. They will be great no matter what time it's in because they are a dominant program. They can't separate that.
Yeah, and I think also it's just inherent into football that it's going to be difficult to determine the top four teams because you only play 13 games. And in the sample
That's
size
right.
is so small, you don't have a real data set to be like, yo, well, this team – in basketball, you get 35 to 38 games to kind of get a
mm-hmm.
read on, like, who a team really is and get some data on how are they defensively, you know –
Right.
And so I think in football, that's why the eyeball test plays so much into the selection process because there's so little, like, empirical data other than, you know, qualitative data to really base your assumptions off of, and you really do have to just go off of the eyeball test, which can be inaccurate and can be subject to bias, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, the Big Ten were, what, 7-1?
Yeah, thanks, Michigan.
My Michigan team, it could have been undefeated, but they did. I don't know what it was. Somebody was smoking something. Five turnovers. But 7. I mean, Big Ten was 7-1. I don't hear anybody talking. Now, if SEC had gone 7-1 in that same scenario with Ohio State winning, people would say, yeah, Ohio State won, but the SEC won 7-1. But no, including Northwestern beating Kentucky, an SEC team. But they're nothing. We had Wisconsin go down and basically Miami in the home game. With him on the line. No love about that. And so it's one of those things. I start hearing this narrative. And I'm like, okay, we can't get that going both ways. That's the part that I'm shocked you're right. And I think it's the sample size. That's why I say they got to go to 8 or 6. There's got to be a little bit more of a plus. Where there's got to be enough slots for those big, that 5 and a plus 1 or 2. There's got to be a way for them to do that. And I think you might have, you're going to have people arguing, but you'll have fewer arguments. That's the only thing I think can happen. But, you know, they still get the money. So I guess I can't say too much.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's shift gears. You had on here some NBA talk.